Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Welcome to another edition of Black Opinions Matter. Motherfucker, my name is Amin Hassan. I'm joined, as always, by Black Trey, Big Jerv, and Jay Skills. We got special guests, Naima Cochran and Chasey Cash, coming through a little bit later. We got a hell of a... This is a classic episode today. We're going to talk about, of course, the thing that everybody's talking about right now, the rap beef between Kendrick Lamar and Drake and Cole and God knows who else is future in there. There's Metro Boomin in there. There's a whole bunch of people. We're going to talk about all about that shit. We're also going to talk about the man with the bad fit. Or was it a bad fit? The man had a polo shirt and he went to Whataburger. They're trying to clown him. We're going to get to the bottom of it. Figure out whether his fit was truly awful or if, in fact, he was fresh. Within that note, does he have holes? We're going to talk about holelessness. And is it bad to appear that you are holeless? I dress this way just to kind of be a punching bag for that conversation. You don't want to miss it. Also, shout out to Fifth. He let us know that nowadays, instead of saying pause, we're saying hashtag no Diddy. And we wonder whether Diddy is done for real or whether he's going to come back. But first, patreon.com/countthedings. That's where you go to get all the extra content, the OG podcast, the watch-alongs for Cinephobe, the Discord, and so much more. We got so much content over there. patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you're locked in. Make sure you're getting this episode all in its entirety and not in bits and pieces across an entire week. All right. Without further ado, let's get to our first topic, which is the Freaknik documentary on Hulu that made everybody on Black Twitter angry. So this Freaknik documentary has taken the internet by storm. And before we get into the details, and shout out to our guest, Naima Cochran, who joins us, because she had some opines that she shared, including the photographs. So I'm going to tell you, Naima, you inspired me to start looking for my photo albums.
You got to go to the archives. That's what they're for. Oh, yeah.
I got a lot of pictures from Freaknik. But one of the funniest things was you said your first Freaknik was 94, and you called it the last great Freaknik.
I keep saying 94 was the last original Freaknik year. A lot of people say that. It was the last original Freaknik year.
I've lived my entire life thinking that 97, my first Freaknik, that was the last good year. Like that, because we've been saying that, and I remember 98 and walking around and being like, not as good as it was last year.
Right.
And I remember my cousin came to 99, and I was like, this thing is actually very weak. And he couldn't believe it. Like, this is...
Yeah, I forgot it went that long. Like, honestly, some people will say 95 was the last good year. I say it's 94 because 95 was when they were starting the prep for the Olympics and the traffic patterns started changing. So yeah. My thing is, if you didn't get the pre-exit block off Freaknik, you didn't get the real, because part of that, just the traffic, just cruising up and down Peachtree was such a big part of the experience, which nobody really got after 95.
So before, like I said, before we dive into this, I just want to try and list out, because again, I don't even know if any of these events still exist, but I know when I was in college, I know there were Freaknik, Black Biker Weekend in Myrtle Beach, Black Spring Break in Daytona Beach, the Kappa Luau, or what they call it?
Was a Kappa Luau somewhere.
Yeah.
So was that the event, Jerv?
I mean, that's a little before my time. I'm in high school at this time. I mean, I've heard of it, but I can't give too much information.
There was Philly Greek.
It's sworn by
Oh, Philly Greek.
Yeah.
And I was trying not to say that because I didn't want to seem biased, but yeah.
It was 10 relays. There was Orange Crush. There was Orange Crush at Savannah State, which was started by Shannon Sharp and them back in his day, which also ended in the early 90s. There was Jones Greek Fest, Jones Beach in New York.
Yes.
There were a few of those regional.
I've never heard of Penn Relays. I've never heard of Orange Crush.
You never heard of Penn Relays? Wow. No,
I don't know.
So it's kind of like, well, Jerv, no, you're the actual regional representative. Like,
I mean, it's like the biggest fucking track meet of the year, for everyone.
You know what it was, Amin? It was CIAA, but a track meet. CIAA is actually a basketball tournament, but it turns into a party weekend. It's that, but track
meet
in Philadelphia. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was CIAA before CIAA.
Penn Relays is still going on, though. It's not.
Not as a party weekend.
There are parties.
Okay.
But it's like, you know what she means. It's not like people coming for the spectacle, right? In the same way that, like,
more so coming just to watch the event. Now.
There's a difference between the Super Bowl and the Kansas City Chiefs are playing Monday Night Football, and so there are parties in town because they're like, there's a difference in those two things. Super Bowl is like, I don't even care who's in that Super Bowl. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, there's races. Party. What? It's like, even with CIAA, I'm going to be like, there's basketball games.
Did y'all say Black College Weekend? The one that was up in, it was like Old Dominion area. That was big during my college years. It was Black College Weekend, and it was up in, what is that park in
Williamsburg? Was it Virginia Beach?
No, not Virginia Beach. Golly, I'm so old and wild.
Norfolk?
No, it was out fucking like out near Williamsburg. It was King's Dominion. It was King's Dominion was weekend. King's Black Dominion. College.
Okay,
Yep, sir. All the you know, black colleges, you know, would come up to King's Dominion.
Great.
You
know. And I know y'all don't count my school, but Texas Southern, Prairie View, I think Wiley, a couple other schools was coming to Galveston for Kappa Beach Party. So
yeah,
that was my first experience in 2004. I'm just like, you know, coming from LA, seeing like all these obviously Greeks and stuff like that. All my uncles and cousins are Kappas. I just didn't do it. But
I could see you as a Kappa though, Trey. Honestly.
No, I know everything. I definitely you know, could see it. They groomed me and trained me since I was like fucking.
You have the look. I could see it. Eight years old,
I was supposed to be down when I.
What's your shoulder work look like?
Nah, I ain't, but I used to be watching all that. You know what I mean? I actually was in the house. I knew the stands and every different, you know, that pledge from the 90s to 2000s, all that shit. I seen it. So
Jason, I want to ask you, because you are, I believe, the youngest among us.
Yeah.
Here. You didn't get to experience any of this shit, right? Like, this had already been done by the time you.
Yeah, this was a wrap. I got to college at 05. Yeah, so it was Kappa parties. It was Kappa parties at SC that we would go to. But other than that, you know, and we knew about our homecoming and all the other homecomings like down south. Like I had a bunch of friends who went to Morehouse, Spelman, the whole nine. So like, you know, a lot of people was coming back, you know, telling us about what was going on out there. But yeah, it wasn't no big, like all of the events y'all talking about that was not really taking place.
So when you're watching this documentary, Jason.
Yeah.
Is this revelation for you? Like, oh, that's what it looked like? Or I mean, did you kind of already have
I kind of already knew, you know, like being in hip hop, it's funny that they had Too Short, like, you know, voicing it, because like I remember hearing him and other people rap about Freaknik. You feel me? So it wasn't
He lived in Atlanta too at that time.
Yeah. So it wasn't no big mystery. I remember my dad talked about it. So my dad is like 62 now. So it was like his generation was like the older generation for them niggas, mm-hmm. like in Too Short's age range. So you know, like loving Luke and all of that, like
your
that
dad was part of the Infiltrators,
right? Hey, because it's funny because I seen some niggas
nigga
that
dad was trying to pull up, bro.
I seen some niggas that was interviewed in the documentary. I'm like, these niggas is not in college,
yo. So, yo, any nigga that pulled up not going to school, yo, you niggas is a problem.
Luke was 34. Luke was born in 1960. I just want that to see.
Yeah, so was my dad. My dad was born in 1960.
And he's talking about, like, as soon as that man said, when you think of college, the first thing you think of is sex. I was like, security, somebody get the police right now, please. You are a 34-year-old man in 1994, sir. Why are you even concerned? And that's part of the problem of what Freaknik became right there. No shots to your dad, Jason. He might have been one of the good ones.
He was a good guy.
He was one of the good ones.
He might have just been there to observe and report. That's right. Fine. So, yeah.
You know what's wild? That Luke interview, or the video, mm-hmm. that I feel like MTV had did like a
Yes, they did. They did. Okay. That's how I got the knowledge of
they
it.
Did a behind the music or whatever.
They did
behind
a behind
the video,
the,
making
well,
the video.
I think they were just trying to push.
Oh,
the
you mean
whole
like in
thing.
Real time, right? Like yeah. We're not talking a new. Okay, yeah. I think that's where I saw it.
It got
like,
commercialized even more.
Shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's how
what's
people.
Going on here?
And no. Tell me if I'm skipping ahead. That's how. Mm-hmm. That's what used to frustrate me is that when people would talk about Freaknik, they would talk about it like a Luke video, because it became a real life version of a Luke video after that, right? People thought that they were coming for just some wild shit. Mm-hmm. And before that, it wasn't that, you know what I mean? It really was like college, good college fun. It was good college fun. And I mean, yeah, it was heavy flirting and it might have been a little grabby. It was the 90s. It was kind of like that. I never felt in danger in any way at any point. It felt like a big family picnic, honestly, all throughout Atlanta. And I've never seen so many fine young Black men in one place in my life. And I'm sure people feel the same about the men feel the same about Black women. But yeah, it always bothered me that when people talk about Freaknik now, they was like, y'all was out there pussy popping and on the highway and, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. And I was like, it wasn't always that. So I was really happy to know that this documentary was taking it all the way back to the origins and why it started with the Metro DC Club and the AUC. Cause I'm like,
did you know about that? Like,
well, they named it Freaknik. I did.
I didn't know that.
I knew that. I didn't realize it started as early as 83. I thought it started in like 87, 88. Damn, I didn't know it started that early, but I knew it started as an AUC picnic specifically.
So before I watched it, the one thing I was waiting for was, I wonder if they're going to explain how to actually spell it. Because all my life,
because I spell it with a K. I spell it with a K at the end, but I think it's really spelled with a C at the end, but I've always spelled it with a K.
Different.
Yes.
I mean, glitching.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
I thought I was tripping for a second. I'm like, it's all good.
We're always here for that.
But yeah, no, how the name came about was crazy. Like, I didn't realize it was picnic. Like, that's because it's because the way a lot of people pronounce it is
Freaknik. Yeah, Freaknik. Yeah. It's Freaknik. So, that one I knew. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I would have thought Nick, then it would have made more sense. But when I saw that, I was like, oh, and the K throws you off too. So you're not really thinking of picnic. And I was like, that's kind of interesting. But yeah, the freak part also was funny because he's like, oh, we got it from the song. And I'm like, that's not what I ever thought. You know what I'm saying? Like any type of, like.
Yeah, no, it definitely, I was shocked about the origins. And now I guess the spelling should be with a C given that. Also, as a side note, the lady said, which now is problematic given what we know about picnics. I'm like, I'm sorry, a picnic's out?
Are we not doing picnics anymore? I still use picnic. But I also feel like, was the pick a nigga thing ever confirmed, or is that like the Willie Lynch letter? I'm still not 100%.
I don't know.
That was my first time hearing that. I never heard that before.
Oh, you never heard that before?
No, okay. I never heard that.
You know they say pick a nigga, you know what I mean? So niggas was off.
Yeah, people said it came out, I want to say, I guess like mid-2000s, people were saying that the origin of the word picnic came from like slave auctions where people would bring food out for the auctions and it was kind of like quote unquote pick a nigga. But I feel like that might be like the Willie Lynch letter. I'm not sure we confirmed that's right. True.
Yeah, we need to find
the still
origin.
Say picnic. Right. I personally, and I consider myself a little bit like conscious, I still use the word picnic because I'm not what it's convenient.
Mm-hmm. What else would you call it?
What else would you call it?
A gathering outdoors.
Because everything can't be a family reunion.
And everything ain't a cookout. Picnics and cookouts are not the same thing.
Cookouts are very specific.
Because if there's no cooking,
it's a picnic.
You know what I'm saying? If there's no, you know what I mean? Like, it's everything makes sense. The name is very direct. Like,
also, picnic suggests like a cookout suggests like there's tables and there's mingling and there's whatever, but picnic suggests like there's blankets and you're on the ground.
We're on the ground.
We still have picnics in New York right now.
Yeah, it's spread out like you're
Yogi
chilling.
Yogi the Bear.
It's very different. Yeah, it's a different situation.
Shout out to Yogi. That's Juju. Shout out to Yeah. I thought it was very hilarious that they had 21 Savage talking about Freaknik.
People are upset that 21 Savage was in that doc.
Okay.
Even though he's also a producer of the doc.
There you go. There's two things.
And
one
I get
is
that.
It's executive produced by 21 Savage, Jermaine Dupri, and Uncle
and
Luke.
Creepy, right? And Creepy scaring the hoes, Uncle Luke.
Scaring the hoes.
How did he go from getting the hoes to scaring the hoes?
Scaring the hoes.
Hey, because you got to read the room, bro. And I think that was the whole the essence of a Freaknik, you know what I mean? You think about it, like originally this shit was just like, bro, we broke, we can't go home, let's use our imagination and turn something to what we can do. Actually, right. Hey, we making bread off of this. Oh, people actually having a good time. Oh, let me go tell some people back home about this shit. Oh, they want to visit. Now they want to drive down. Then it gets to a commercialization of like, oh,
right,
Uncle Luca has a song, we have a theme song. Now we got the
clubs want to do nights. They want to get hosts. They want to do, and that fucked it up as soon as, and that's the, and I think everybody on here probably knows something about this. You curate a vibe, right? You create something really special And the paradox of it, and I tweeted this a couple of years ago talking about Freaknik, the paradox of, and all these different like little regional gatherings we just talked about, the paradox of it is that success comes with a countdown clock. Like mm-hmm. once it reaches a tipping point and folks from outside the intended community start coming in, you have only a certain amount of time left before it turns into another thing, right? It's like do you keep it small and really exclusive, or do you let it grow and then just release it to the universe? You can't do both, especially for these things that were created by college students for college students, because the original people aren't there to shepherd it through.
Right.
It keeps changing hands, you know? There's no stewardship.
That's exactly what happened with Facebook, ironically.
Right.
When they open up the floodgates. When they open up the floodgates, for sure.
And it happens with every club. It happens.
You can say the same thing about Twitter. Once we start getting verified, once we start getting some type of popularity and earning money and all that shit, that shit changes the thing.
Listen, those of us who were on Clubhouse early.
That
happened the same thing. Once the Androids came in, no offense to the green bubble people.
I really like that they included really school bad. Days in a different world as a promotion of
spreading. That was really great.
It was basically like free advertisement, right? At this point, you know what I mean?
But it wasn't like, it's weird because I really enjoyed that part. First of all, I watched every episode of A Different World. I do not remember them mentioning Freaknik.
They did mention Freaknik, but it was an aside, and it was kind of like, I was really surprised because they got it wrong, because Kim was saying she was trying to go to Freaknik in DC. So I'm not sure if they had tried to expand, because there was a point where they tried to expand Freaknik, because she was trying to drive real quick from Virginia to DC, which is why she was able to get back when her dad showed up. So she said she was going to Freaknik in DC, and it was also around homecoming season. So it was all off. Freaknik was spring break, and I never knew of it to be anywhere but Atlanta. So I'm not sure if maybe like at one point they tried to do a DC version, or if it was early
enough.
That was
just writers. Was that
Countess? That was Countess' ass. Countess' ass was throwing a party. She tried to throw that shit in a different way. Right, we saw her.
Like, we're gonna do this real quick. So yeah, I'm not sure, but it was just a mention. They didn't follow her there. They didn't do. Her dad had forbade her to go. She went. He showed up on campus. She had to come back and pretend she wasn't there. Yeah.
Just for the record, because Naima said that in Different World they had to drive from Virginia. I just want to confirm that, you know, we all know that A Different World, for those who don't know, the Hampton University.
All right, brother.
Man, $3.
That was
a jewel. Drop a jewel.
Any chance.
Oh, that is a jewel, my brother.
Juju, it was either going to be Hampton or Philadelphia. One of the two things.
One of the two. But I really liked the part in the documentary where they talked about Outkast. I thought that was the dopest part to me, like out of everything. You know, you get the whole historical context and what have you, but like me even remembering that they came out in 94 and all that, and then him saying that they had the snippets on the other side of the cassette, I was like, wow.
The promotional samplers was crazy.
Yeah. I miss snippet samplers. That was an era.
That was dope. And then even the Lil Face Street Team was hard. Like the chick saying like, this is the best place you could possibly imagine to get everybody playing your shit.
So that woman, Shanti, she was one of my first bosses in the industry. I used to work for her. I worked for her at Arista when L.A. Reid took over Arista Records, and he brought a lot of the Face team with me. So that's one of my first boss, marketing guru, mentor. I learned a lot from her. I love seeing my people up there. But yeah, it was like,
I'm shocked I didn't see you in the doc. I ain't gonna lie.
I'm not from Atlanta. And I'll be honest, I've had a lot of commentary in different places about
it. Is Mark from Atlanta?
No, Mark went to school at Morehouse, though, right?
No, Mark went to UPenn.
Mark went to Morehouse first, and then he went to UPenn.
The only reason why I said that, because we have a black intellectual people sometimes where they pick for the docs, and Naima, they be like, yo, Naima. That's why I love when they call Naima. I'll be doing the Leo meme. I'll be like, I know her.
I was some point on my screen. Because on that note, there were a lot of people, like, they were angry that they got, like,
Jer, pull it up.
Quote unquote, black intellectuals, right? And I'm not talking, because we're gonna talk about this specific tweet. We're gonna talk about this specific tweet later. But like, as I scroll through the comments, because it is it's a funny ass tweet. It's a Mark, we love you. Like, but it's a funny tweet. It's a funny tweet. But as I read through some of the replies, it became less about kind of like, let's get this funny joke off, and more about I can't believe bitter. Like, why didn't they get any real black? I'm like, first of all, nobody want to hear your mumbling, stuttering ass on TV.
Right.
They want people who can actually articulate what the hell was going on.
That's the thing, right? It's like, who was there? And I understand why people were kind of annoyed with the 21 Savage of it all, but I feel like it's an important part of storytelling to have somebody who can talk about impact. And
you were there. Half of the people were there.
Yeah, and 21 had done his whole Freaknik birthday party, which was massive in Atlanta. And people be like, he didn't even move to Atlanta until he was a teenager, but he's in the aftermath of it, right? So I feel like that was, and honestly, clearly he loved the storytelling of it enough to put money up.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what I mean? So like, that's important.
Yeah, we don't get this unless he actually is interested.
Yeah, yeah. He put the money up. Shut up. Let him say a couple words.
But niggas is lazy too. That's the crazy thing about it. I think a lot of niggas be sometimes. Like, because I didn't even know. See, I said why he was in there.
The whole thing, this is about, and I'm skipping ahead, this is happening with the Black Twitter doc that's coming out in May too. People like, oh, y'all got the Black Twitter intelligentsia and not the real Black Twitter. No, it's mad people. Like, I'm in it. It's mad people in it, right? Just watch it. I thought we was gatekeeping. What is it about to gatekeep about Black Twitter? Like, what are y'all talking about?
The idea that, like, this piece is incomplete. If I didn't hear from
experts
busting these hoes 715, like, I'm sorry. No, I think we can tell the story without him. Like, not everyone's attendance is required.
Correct.
But it's the insanity. I'm like, what are y'all talking about, man? What are you talking about?
I feel like I would have wanted to hear from more rappers though. Like, and that's my thing with the 21 is like, he's the young rapper, like, who wasn't there. We got Big Boi, Ludacris, like, all these Atlanta rappers who was from the area. Ludacris was a DJ, so he had to have some kind of, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Chris also ain't from Atlanta, though, so there's that part. I don't know when he got there, but he's not from
I think he
there.
Got there in college. He went to college.
Okay, he went to college. But here's what I will say about this. To me, complaining about Mark and 21... Like, you do always have to have some people, like you said to me, who can contextualize things and talk about maybe coming in the aftermath and how it impacted, like, the area that you're in now. Because Atlanta today, the music scene today was shaped in part by those Freaknik years. And also what they didn't really talk about was that the same years that Freaknik was blowing up, there was this really big music convention called How Can I Be Down that was in Atlanta. And they sometimes crossed over, which I feel like is how the music industry started infiltrating Freaknik a little bit as well. That was run by Peter Thomas, who now most people just know from Real Housewives. But it was like one of the biggest back when we had music conventions where, like, I think it shows up. Either that or Jack the Rapper is going to show up in BMF this season, like the music conventions where you would go and see talent really early and all of that stuff. So that also was happening.
He's showing up already.
He's showing up already.
The Tupac tour.
Yes.
So, you know, that was also happening in Atlanta. So that was helping shape the idea of Atlanta as a young music city. And not just like a old, it was always an esteemed Black city, but that was helping shape Atlanta. Like, we called it hot. That was when we was calling it Hotlanta.
Hotlanta.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it was still like a thing.
And then white people discovered it and we had to, we had to leave that one behind.
Then the Olympics was a crazy clear out. Did the 1-4, like, hold on, clear, ISO, mismatch, let's get Freaknik. Oh, we got Freaknik on the island. Then I'm about to get 50 on them.
We
got to
hear from resident ATL and Juju about, you know what I'm saying, your perspective on all of this.
I have no perspective. I respect the perspective of my sister who I just met, and I think she speaks for all of us.
Yeah, I don't know why you just sounded like Cat Juju Williams to me, my nigga.
Juju sound like he's on the grand jury indicted him.
Juju be having respect when he pull up, bro. Especially, you know, he respect Naima. That's what's up.
I appreciate it.
I'm in the streets for real. Like, we talk. Like, I'm still like, you know what I mean? I'm outside, so I got to deal with a lot of people.
Yeah, he had to be mindful of his commentary.
The 21 Savages of the world, and
Right.
But Juju, as a child growing up in the state of Georgia, like, do you have any memories from like either older cousins or anything?
I was a child. My mom and daddy was preachers. They would be damned if I watched MTV, let alone take my ass to some damn Atlanta if you want to. My mama pulled me out of the club one time. That shit changed my life. I thought I was grown. I went to the club. It was senior night. All my partners, they was up there at the club. I snuck my ass in there. Nigga, I seen my mama coming through the crowd in the club. Oh, my God. I will pee to die,
bro. That's a crazy pull.
Bruh. Through the grace of God, exactly. Through the grace of God, she just came over and said, son, go to the car. You feel me? Because she, I thought she was going to beat the hell out of me.
You thought she was going to embarrass you?
I thought it was over. Right, it was over.
The belt was coming.
She took me to the car. She drove me home and then persisted to beat my ass in all the, like, hook and elbow.
How'd she get in?
How she get in? She paid it. She can get in the club. What you mean? Hey, she get in. Walk through the door.
Hey,
a son in the club. Hey, nigga, I'll give $100.
You know how crazy it is, bro. If Mom Dukes pulled up undercover, just like, all right, like she about to get in just to go get Juju. Like, all right, yeah, I'm about to get in. And then just
why would any adult have to do that? You walk up to the club. How much is $5, huh? My son in here. Move out the way. Little boy who I used to watch.
I have his mama showing up with like the house shoes on.
And the bro.
Don't try my mama.
Not too much.
No. And the bouncer. And the bouncer. The bouncer just saying.
Let's not even make this joke about my mama.
It's not about your mama. It's about the bouncer.
Somebody else's mom.
It's about the bouncer. It's about the bouncer being shook and being like, not even charging cover. Just be like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
My mama ain't in this story, though. Yeah, my mama ain't in that story. Moving on.
We're not going to entertain a hypothetical.
Hypothetical does not exist.
All right. That's going to do it for us this week. For our guests, Chase and Naima, again, shout out to both of them for making us better. Shout out to Big Jerv on the production, Jason Madison, Trey Edwards, and the one and only Juju Gotti. This has been Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. Remember, tap into that Patreon, patreon.com/countthethings. And until next time, stay black, motherfuckers.